Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So 90 minutes. Look, you see, we are professional. The phone is on silent. We do care.
It's on silent. I mean, it's not on airplane mode. Let's not lose the run of ourselves. But it's on silent. I've never put my phone on airplane mode. I hear all these people like, no, well, I put the phone on airplane mode. I'm like, do you? Okay, fair enough.
I do it all the time when I'm embroiled in a conversation I don't want to have. I send a text or an email and then I put the phone on airplane mode and I just bury my head in the sand for a few days and come back to it and then have to tell the person, I'm sorry, my phone was on airplane mode. And I do not.
You've done that to me a good few times.
Yeah. No, but only because we're essentially in, like, We're in a relationship which is beyond friendship. Obviously, it's not, you know, it's not intimate in a sexual way.
I know when you're avoiding me. I just leave you off now. I leave you off.
No, it's not that.
I take a leaf out of Fred's book and I just go to her, leave her off. If they love you, they'll come back.
What I told you before 10 p.m. goes no further.
Of course it does.
And downs with Fred.
No, I said I meant in the case when Fred says leave them off. I mentioned that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It is
annoying the way he can't give out about people. No, it's, do you know what I find, it's a testament to our friendship, because generally if you're one of my besties, I will go to multiple periods throughout the year where I'm actively avoiding it, because I just can't run from the besties. I just can't.
It's different, your gas one, because there's different stages of your love, and I know now when you're avoiding me, and I know 90% of the time it's probably not related to me.
Of course not. Never.
But especially when I was younger, I would be much more a poke the bear person. And I feel like that I'm less of that now. I'm just tired now as I get older. But I've learned to be less poke the bear with you. I've learned to just say, I'll let her go. She'll come back whenever she wants.
Well, I just need to check out every once in a while.
She can't be doing with me at the moment. She's like, if Emma tells me another fucking thing about some fucking shite, I swear to God. So I'm just like, I'll leave her off. It's not my natural disposition, but I'm like, I'll leave her off. We won't bring it up.
No, I do appreciate that.
That's how it is. And that's the way it goes sometimes.
No, I think the listener might relate to this, because I feel like, you know,
I drop off the grid, but I do it less now, but I would have done it for different reasons. I would just drop off the grid with everybody. And I remember one time in college, I wasn't in for, I don't know, I think it was a week or something. And like, not everyone, but like, you know, like your little group of mates, mm-hmm. like messaging me and ringing me and whatever. And I think what happened was, I don't know, there was something going on with Ella or something going on with somebody, but it was fine. There was nothing major, and my phone died, and I actually just didn't charge it, but I just I mean, looking back on it now, was I depressed? It could have been depression, I don't know. But I just needed to check out and not speak to anybody that I didn't have to, like, that I didn't share a living space with. I just had to, like, I need to do it less now as I get older, but I, you know, and I wouldn't have been annoyed at anybody or pissed off.
No, but and you see, that's where I'm coming from on it as well, because when I'm not in touch with people, it's absolutely nothing. It speaks nothing of my relationship with that person at all. It's more just stuff that's going on with me, because I feel like when you have stuff going on, it can be actually quite draining to have the small conversations, which you have to have on a daily mm-hmm. basis. It's kind of part of being human. And then, you know, with the real mates, you can't have a small conversation with a real mate. So, you know, if a real friend asks you, how are you? It's so disarming, because it's really hard to kind of brush it off in a superficial way. So I feel then, you know, I think a lot of people probably do this as well. A listener, get in touch. But you kind of actively avoid those solid friendships and those solid friends for a bit, because you're like, this is just about getting through here, because I don't have the energy to have a conversation, because in articulating it, then it becomes this whole big thing. And it mightn't even be, you know, stuff that's going on internally. It could be just you have other shit going on, and then having to have the conversation about, well, you know, this is happening or that's happening, and somebody saying, oh, that's a bit shit. It kind of, you know, in acknowledging that, it makes it real in a way. So sometimes I do like to just kind of live in, it's quite easy to do as well when you live on the side of a mountain, that you just say, you know what, I'll just go off grid for a while. So I do that. I dip in and out. I'm a bit of dippage, So I'm grand. We're in Kells.
Off the grid though. Oh yeah, you're in Kells.
I was in Kells for a few days. Living it up. Went to visit. So Fred's parents are finally vaccinated, so they got to hang with Ted for the first time, and they were thrilled. It was really lovely. It was quite emotional. I'm going to send you a few pics now of Ted meeting his first cousins for the first time. And I was so relieved, because I was a bit worried, because he's a COVID baby, that he would be a bit like, you know, those kids and the others, like with Nicole Kidman, mother, you know, real indoors children. So I was kind of scared that he was going to not be a people person. But so far, he's gotten on great, and he was delighted to see everyone, and he was all smiles, and he was getting the hugs from his little cousin. Oh, that, yeah, gosh. Really, really cute. So cute. And like, it was so nice now for Fred's parents. I feel it gives people such a lift, you know, especially going into the summer, because you're kind of saying, you can come down to us now because you're vaccinated and all that, which is great. So that was lovely. But I did laugh, because one of the days now, Fred took me on a tour of Kells, because Fred loves Kells. He absolutely is mad for Kells. Remember when he was trying to get me to move there, and his selling point was like, you know, we have an Apache pizza, and we got a good few up to 90 episodes out of it. That was back in the day, the Liffey, do you remember the Liffey Valley car park days? Such a bleak period in our lives. Yeah, you see, now you're off the grid. You're like, it's over. So we had a little wander around Kells, and I had to laugh, because it was really like, Kells is lovely, like really nice spot. And you know, I'm thinking, that's a nice wall. Tell me about that wall. And like, it does have a lot of lovely walls. I'll say that about Kells, a lot of lovely walls. And Fred was like, well, this is because we were a monastic. We used to be a monastery back in the day, so we're a monastic town. And then he was like, will I take you to the graveyard? So he took me to the Protestant graveyard, and I did laugh, because I was like, God, it is funny, because obviously where we live in West Kerry, you're like, okay,
why did he take you there?
Well, this is it.
Just do anal, and it doesn't count if it's near the prods.
Stop. You haven't done anal unless you've done anal in a graveyard. You know, that's my theory.
That's my granny used to say.
Oh God, I'm just clenching. Just even at the Jesus. Bit early. I'm a bit early in the day. So Fred was like, come on, I'll take you to the graveyard. And I didn't have to laugh, because I was like, God, you know, it's so funny, because in West Kerry, you're like, you know, will we go out to the Blaskets? Will we, you know, go for a walk around the marina? We go to the beach. And Kez's like, will I take you to the graveyard? So we went to the graveyard. It was, you know, by all intents and purposes, it was a lovely graveyard. But then Fred started saying mad things like, you know, will we eat our food here? And I was like, Fred, it's a graveyard. You know, so it kind of was becoming a picnic, you know, before I knew it, we were sitting down having a coffee. Then he's like, we could have the sandwich here. And I just felt, I was like, no, look, we're getting a bit too into the graveyard now. So we went, Fred got a haircut, all that kind of nice, sweet, sweet stuff. I got some sneaky chips and then came back to the gaff. And Fred was like, you haven't eaten. And whipped me up a sandwich. I was like, thank you so much. And you know, like, the buggy's like stinking of salt and vinegar. And Ted's just looking at me like Ted's eyes are just watering from the vinegar. I was like, you're right. Yeah, no, I'm just like a little
just bird. On the go. I just pick.
That's me. I just pick. So it's great to see them. And then I had the few shandies with Fred's brother, his lookalike brother. Do you remember we met them at the Vodafone Festival?
Yes.
He's got the same head as Fred.
But we had a great I talked a lot of shite with him actually.
He's great. Oh my god, they're unreal. Timmy and his girlfriend Danielle, who's just fantastic.
She's lovely.
Oh, she's the best crack.
She's gorgeous, isn't she?
Absolutely fab. She's so fabulous looking. And she just, do you know, this is so creepy, but Danielle smells so good.
I didn't get that close to her, but I'd imagine she would smell good.
Lads, I haven't put perfume on in over a year at this stage. Like, I had forgotten the power of perfume, because whenever she kind of gave Ted a little cuddle, Ted would come back to me and I'd just be like, Ted.
I'd happily give her a hug.
Oh.
In that kind of way.
No, I didn't. We didn't embrace. We didn't go that far.
Oh, well, no, not at the moment, no.
Yeah, I mean, if people are crazy now, Emma. I'd happily break restrictions to drive to Kells to give that woman I met once a hug on that night.
I'm saying if I saw her out again, I'd be happy to give her a hug.
Actually, speaking of that raucous evening, Sean Walsh, Fred did a thing with Sean Walsh on Instagram. I thought this was quite lovely. They did an Instagram live together on Friday night, and Sean said, he said, I've actually got a picture of your son on my desk here. And it was the Christmas card of Ted.
Oh, that's nice.
Now, he couldn't actually find it then after announcing that he did have it. But I just thought it was lovely that he thought it was there.
Little Ted on the desk.
Ted on the desk. It was really nice to see them watch it. Do you know what is a great show to watch when you have a few drinks and you, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Because it's done, you know. A quiz like that is perfect because it's done in increments. All you need to try and focus on is that one question at that moment in time, and they drag it out for so long,
and you're
very
saying to
easy
yeah.
to follow.
And you're saying to yourself, the answer is looking right at me. It's looking right at me. Now, it's a great addition. I think Jeremy Clarkson is brilliant on it. And I would have always been a bit like, about Jeremy, even though he is such a great writer. But, you know, I think I speak for most people when I say he would annoy on occasion. But he's great in it. And I love this addition now that you can ask him something, I think is brilliant banter. So yeah, it was
great.
We're
keeping it current as well, isn't it?
Keeping it current. Well, this is the latest series of
yeah. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I know, true. You're not talking about Chris Tarrant, in fairness.
And then we went straight from that. Like, you knew, you know, we'd had a few when we went straight from that into a show about Monaco. And you know, you're kind of its background, but then like you get really invested.
Oh, I thought you were going to say somebody suddenly pipes up like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, no, I got really into Monaco, to be honest. I think by the end of the evening, we were all saying we might buy a house there. You're like, come on, guys.
I was in Monaco before.
Can I pitch in? Were you?
I was. I went to Monaco for work, would you believe?
No.
Yeah, I did. When I worked in Setanta Sports, there's something that happens.
The Formula One.
No, it wasn't the Formula One, but there's something that happens there, or did anyway, once a year to do with, I think a whole load of them go over. There's something to do with sports rights. There's like some big conference sale thing or whatever. But anyway, the Satanta people were having some sort of like party thing or whatever. And me and another girl, Tara, went over and we basically just did the door. So we did the door on this thing. And then we went for dinner, but obviously everything is really expensive. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we got money for our dinner, like, you know, to cover the dinner because it was obviously going to be really expensive. But I remember that night, I think I actually still have the dress. It was a real naughty's dress. So it was like had a one strap across the chest. And it was kind of before, it was kind of a cross between like a bodycon and was it pendulum? It was kind of a cross, like the bodycon hadn't completely hit at this stage. But then I remember this man came up to me out of nowhere and started asking me about the colour of my pubes and stuff. And it really put a bit of a fucking dampener on the night, because he was saying, it wasn't aggressive, but he was saying it in, just... do you know when they're all chin in your face?
Yeah.
And I should have to, you know, like that. And you're just like, oh, like you can smell their sweat. And you know, one of those kind of encounters. And I was actually a bit shook. So, but that was Monica. Like, it wasn't amazing. I don't know. He was either English or Irish. I know that much anyway. I remember that much. Like fucking proper L lad though.
Oh, bit of pubic tourism. Why is it that as a redhead, our pubes continue to fascinate? I can remember, do you know what? Uh-huh. It's funny now because I was talking to a friend today about, you know, it's time. The time has come that everyone's getting their ghee waxed. And I was like, God, you know, it's going to be the first one. I know this is obviously psychosomatic on my part. But I was saying to her, I was like, do you know what? I'm a bit nervous because it's going to be my first time after like the stitches. And obviously I had to be restitched a couple of times. So I have this fear that it's just going to, you know.
No. Why would you bother quite literally your whole? Why would you bother? For what? Why?
Well, I mean,
it's completely unnecessary. It's been true.
I know. Well, we've talked about the shaving. Yeah, I know. I know.
Leave her be.
Yeah, it does. It feels violent, but you know what?
Think you go off the grid? She's off the fucking grid, Judy. It's only been 8 months. She's still in shock. Let her be. Let her be. That was about a ghee.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think it was about a vagina.
Let her be.
I still
can't. She's gonna bleed. Let her be. Speaking words of ghee. Let it be.
Well, do you know what? Yeah, do you know? And I think the BGs were actually originally called the BGs as well. That's a fun fact.
Just leave the B. Leave the ghee be.
P.S. Can you believe that our campaign Cap for Flaps? Do you remember for Flaps? We tried to get that off the ground.
That went viral. People missed it. I think you missed it. I was off the grid. You were off the grid. Do you know when you were talking about the graveyard? I had a flashback there to when I was a kid. I was one of these kids that you know, one of these kids that just like gets themselves into the family and just goes like off places with the family because they're just fucking hanging around. Now, in my defense, I must have been a pleasant enough child because all these parents seemed happy enough to take me off places with the rest of the kids. Now, sometimes it was people where like there was loads of siblings, and then other times it was like, you know, it was an obvious thing of we'll bring her along because she'll keep your one happy enough. But I just remembered as you were saying it, like I remember even going to a graveyard with my friend and her family when I was a kid. Like, so they were obviously going to this graveyard on somebody's anniversary to like clean the grave and put down flowers. And I trooped along with this family.
Emma. There was always that one child you didn't go home.
That was me. But I did go home. That's the thing. I don't know what the fuck was going on. But
maybe they brought you. Maybe it was a bit ominous. Yeah, I was gonna
say, it was a great day because we went around the graveyard looking at all the graves. And I don't know how common it is now, but you know the way when you'd happen upon a grave that had the picture, or somebody, you'd see the odd one, and it'd be like somebody like really beautiful, or like they were really young or something, you'd be like, oh my God, like, wow. But like, I remember it was a great day out. But I, like, looking back, I'm like, why the fuck was I going to this graveyard with my mate and her family? Surely this was a family event.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I know we're very open about death and all that, and like, it's the only fucking thing we are open about and talk about at length. But why the fuck was I going along to this?
Yes, we are kind of gagging for death as a nation. We do, yeah, we
but
do
me
enjoy...
even saying it to my parents, with like, say her, my mate is Judy, can I go with Judy and her family to the fucking graveyard to visit her granny? And my parents just go, yeah,
well, I
bring
do
your
remember.
Coat
yeah
fuck?
Make sure fuck you dress out. Warm,
it'll be cold,
and you're picking daisies en route to put them on the grave. You do a nice little daisy chain for Nanny McCarthy. Look, at least she died happy, didn't she, guys?
Look, if I read another fucking article about screen time with kids, I'm like, just let them have the screen time. What's the alternative? Going to graveyards with their mates and their families? Just
well, I do remember...
Let them go on the iPad.
I do remember on one occasion, a friend of mine, her mom... She was taking us to the cinema, and en route she was like, we just need to make a quick pit stop, and that was actually at the funeral home, and she brought us in. There was a wake happening, and obviously she didn't leave us outside in the car, which was unusual because in the early 90s you generally would leave the kids in the car, you know, with the keys, etc. Wasn't an issue. But she brought us in, and I just remember she's like, no, just tell them you're very sorry. So like, no more than that, she's just going up and down, I'm very sorry. And then people are saying, is she yours? No. So many questions. Like, there were just people kind of like, okay. And so sorry for your loss. So sorry. And you know the way at a wake, you start off and it's very so sorry for your loss. And by the time you get to the coffin, you know, because it escalates. By the time you get to the coffin, you're crying. And like, the widower is holding your hand saying, it's okay, Gerline. It's okay. It's fine. But is she asleep? Is she gonna wake? And you're projecting all your childhood grief and childhood trauma onto this stranger. And then, you know, and then your friend's mom is saying, come on. And ushering you out so you can go and see Jumanji or whatever it is.
This is fucking flashback essential, because my dad loves nothing more than a funeral. I think that's what he's really dying for, to come back, is the funerals. And he used to work in like employee relations role. So this is the way he talked, but like, you know, it was part of his job. It was part of some fucking fetish she had, I think. He brought me to funerals all the time. And that was the thing of ushering me up to say to people, very sorry for your loss. And then fucking they just have flashbacks. Is she yours? Is this your girl? And he'd say, yeah. And then usually what they'd say is, oh, I knew by the brown eyes. And then you have this weird thing of somebody who's heard about you knows, like, possibly, I don't know, but like, knows your father. You don't know who the fuck this person is. And they kind of, there's this weird thing of them kind of like, I don't know, like, you're like, am I meant to like embrace this person? Do I shake hands? Do I start telling a funny anecdote about my dad? What do I do here? Such an odd, but he's brought me to so many funerals, so many, like, and day out funerals. I've gone to funerals in like Cork. I've gone to funerals in Antrim. No idea who any of these people were. Some people.
But would
were,
you
like,
just go to the church,
stuff.
Or would you rocking up for a sambo after?
Well, if it was somebody who used to work with mother, like someone who he used to work with his mother, we might just rock up to the church. Like a girl in my school, one of her parents died. He found out about it and brought me to the funeral. And I didn't know the girl. And he made me go up to the girl and say, sorry for your loss. And he's like, this will mean a lot to her. I'm like, I sure fucking didn't. I'm sure it's all a fucking blur. But yeah, no, like, I mean, family funerals, obviously, it would be the open coffin and the whole shebang. But he would always, he'd more like, if, yeah, he'd be all about getting in, getting out, like, at those kind of ones.
In and out. Well, do you know what? It's a
And now I do that.
Yeah, well, it's you know, realistically, I suppose, awake, you're like a machine. In and out. That's kind of generally the approach, obviously, unless you know the people. But it can be awkward if somebody instigates some bit of chat, because it just, you know, it's hard, as you say, you know, oh, is this your little one? You know, ultimately, what do you do in that situation? Like,
well, if you don't know,
into it, tomorrow, we're just on the way to speech and drama. I love you.
Like, obviously it's a lot more awkward for them because they've just lost a fucking loved one. But if you don't know them and you're like, sorry for your loss, and then sometimes there's that moment of like, oh, conversation has to be had now, and you're like, I don't actually know this person, and what are you going to say? What do you say to people that you don't know? You just kind of say, so how are things? Well, they're pretty fucking shit.
Yeah, well, it is.
We're at my mom's funeral, like,
not great. I know adult cuddles are nice, but have you ever passed your NCT? I passed my NCT today.
Unbelievable.
You always feel like you've gotten one over on them, don't you, when you pass the NCT?
I can't believe the NCTs are happening down your way. I don't think it's ever going to get NCT'd again.
I have to give a shout out to Jonathan Intraly, because I was an hour late for the appointment today. The reason I was an hour late,
well, that's not like
because
you.
Not like me, but I was like, at this point, will I even bother going in? This is ridiculous. But then I didn't want to leave them hanging because I couldn't. The number is kind of shut down at the moment, I suppose, with, I don't know, the pandemic. I don't know. Tried to ring, couldn't ring. I couldn't get through. So I got the car out of the garage and then realized that I had left. So I got my car out of the garage in Lisbol. Hello, Dorgan's Lisbol. Thank you for sorting my car out and giving it a bit of a hoover. Really appreciate it. And you realized in Lisbol, did I pay to get my car done?
Yeah.
Of course. Absolutely.
What's the big fucking thank yous for them?
They're very nice. Do you know what I mean? They're just nice. And they took Ted around around the garage. And,
oh, like, okay. Everything.
Yeah, Brown, yeah, Don, yeah. And okay. Sean. And I'm very friendly with Cullum, who lives in New Zealand. He's been there for years and years and years. But the, you know, Ted got like the little walk around the garage and all, yeah, that was very nice. Cute. So they're lovely. And I realized then, having got my car, I was like, oh, I forgot my wallet, which was in Brandon, which was like 40 minutes away. So I had to go back from Lisbol over the Connor Pass back to Brandon to get my wallet to go back into Tralee. So I just said, look, I'll just go in, because even out of courtesy, just to tell them, look, you know, that I wasn't a no-show as such. And John's was like, you know what? I'll do it anyway. And I was like, thank you so much. And then he said, look, I'll give you a minute to get the buggy out of the car. And I realized I'd also forgotten the buggy. But anyway, they got me a chair to sit on with Ted. We were thrilled. So I got them a box of roses. And you know what? This is funny.
Are you joking me?
Yeah, no, it was a bit over the top. But I tell you what, because it was so funny, because I was going in with Ted in my arms and bringing in the roses, and somebody was storming out of there. Because, you know, we usually have such a traumatic experience in an NCT center. And they're like, sorry, we had to fail you because... you know, there was a spare there was no spare knickers in your glove compartment or whatever it was, and I'm going in with my roses, like, just,
you know what, that's your fucking name now. Your name is Julie Off the Grid Box of Roses, Jay. That's your name.
I know, not that getting back to the best friend, not getting back to the best friends. I'm like, you know who I feel I need to acknowledge in my life? Jonathan in the NCT center. Should I get back? I listen to
you a chair. Here.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, should I listen to Emma's audio? No, just Jonathan.
You know what would have done the job?
Jonathan, that's the relationship you need to take care of.
Thanks a mil, Jonathan. Fair play to you. No better man. Have a great weekend.
It's a Monday. Have a great weekend. They probably take the child
whatever.
Off.
Whatever. Christ almighty, box of chocolates.
But I was an hour late.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Come here. Did you see? I know this is just turning into the royal podcast, but did you see Prince Harry, what he said about the First Amendment being bonkers? I think, look, did you listen to that podcast?
The one with Harry and Meghan's podcast?
No, Dax Shepherd's podcast. You know, Prince Harry was on with Dax Shepherd the other day, so people were kind of taking quotes out of context, no, etc.
I'll be honest, I'm
very into the
Dax.
Well, do we get Dax over here? I'm not sure we really get Dax.
I don't think he's on our vibe.
He's not, but I don't think, like, I'm not being, that's totally not taking from, obviously, has, you know, done loads, etc. But I think he's an American star. Like, for me, it's all about Kristen Bell, his missus is, I really enjoy Kristen Bell. Do you think she's a melt as well?
Yeah.
Is this like when I spoke about Chrissy Teigen with no information whatsoever? Is she not kind of funny though, Kristen Bell? What has she done? Is she controversial? Do I need to Google?
No. There's nothing on her. I'm just like, oh. I think Dax, now they seem like a very nice couple and all the rest of it. But
I know very little
I wouldn't be looking forward to having dinner with them. I actually have listened to his podcast a few times. He seems like a very nice chap. He had been sober for a number of years and had a relapse there recently, and they were kind of working through it together. And it all seemed to be very, they seemed to be very together and communicating to each other and all that stuff. But for me, just when I hear him talking, when he's not acting, there's a lot of mouth sound and action, and I could quite easily. It's just not my bag at all.
I'll be honest, I found the podcast.
Like, he's grand, but no.
I found the podcast a tough enough listen. I didn't get to finish it now. I didn't get to finish it, but it wouldn't be my bag. What are the ones you've listened to? Maybe because I know.
I can't even remember.
I saw he'd gotten Kelly Osbourne. I was like, oh yeah, no, I'd listen to that now, but I found it a tough listen. And it was just a lot of, I think with Harry, like I am, of course, well, I say of course, but for me, absolutely, you know, have a lot of grow for Harry and Meghan. But I just feel, it felt a bit like people just talking out their arseholes today, a little bit, if I'm honest. What I listened to, I was kind of like, okay, you know, have a lot of grow. But I think my time could be better spent than listening to this. Now, in saying that, I do feel, based on what I heard, it seemed like a completely, like, Harry came across as very likable and engaging and all the rest. And I do think probably the comments were taken out of context. And realistically, you know, they were sitting there in the Daily Mail with the pen, with the red pen, just waiting for him to say something that they could take out of context. But I do think when Harry started talking about, when he did talk about the First Amendment, it's like, you can't, Harry. The Americans love, they're weak for their constitution. It's like us and funerals.
He's only in the door.
He's in the door. And you see, the problem is like, Harry obviously has been in this bubble for a long time where he has been protected from the media and seems like a very likable guy and obviously very capable, because like he has, you know, to be fair, like people frame him as a freeloader, but like he's not, because he has done a lot and he was in the army for 10 years and, you know, whatever, was involved in the Invictus Games and all that kind of crack. But I just feel he's not media savvy because he doesn't have that experience. So that's why, like, Meghan is obviously so much more clued into all this. So you do kind of like, as you're listening, you're always a bit scared for him, because you just feel like he's no more than, not that comparing like and like here at all, but like Prince Andrew in that interview, he just didn't have a clue how something he's going to say is just going to sound. The lack of self-awareness was so acute. Yeah. So when Prince Harry is speaking, of course, we're talking about polar opposites here, but there is almost kind of a lack of self-awareness or something sometimes that I'm just always a bit nervous. And you can't say the First Amendment is bonkers. Americans love their constitution the same way we love funerals.
Look, I'm hardly going to
same way we love graveyards, but you can't. You're only in the door.
Give it a bit of time. You're hardly going to move to a new country and hope that everyone welcomes you and you have a great experience, and then like you've just fucking unpacked your bags and gone, well look, do you know what's wrong with this place? Like, fuck off. Your man Dax, I just get the impression of him, right? Say if you went down for a burger with him and you said, oh, I just love cheese, he'd be like, I know, right? They'd make a big fucking deal about it and he'd high five you, and you're like, this is really uncomfortable. Like, he'd fake some way of getting a connection with you, and then he'd finish the burger and he'd bump into somebody and he'd say, tell him what you said about the cheese. I'm like, you know, like trying to make a big,
forced familiarity.
Yeah. And I just,
well, there was a bit of that.
I heard he was talking about something that he did in the past, fair enough, in the past, but he seemed to like, now because he had gone to therapy and he'd realized why he did it, that was the most important lesson from it. And it was kind of like as if he was trying to erase that he had done a shit thing. And I was just like, it was just the tone of it. And I was just like, oh, fuck off. But yeah, I think
I robbed a bank, but I was chasing material things. I was, you know, it was a learning curve for me and I'm a better person now. But what about the people you hurt? Yeah, yeah. I was hurt. I was hurt too.
Hurt
That's
people,
why I was
hurt
doing
people.
It.
I don't have time.
No, it just felt a little bit arsy now today. I imagine the comments were taken out of context, but you're like, Harry, stop. I just feel like Meghan should be in attendance at all times. Like, she must have been a bit like, you're doing the podcast, are you? Okay.
I feel like whatever he was saying, I'd imagine that his face was doing that thing that happens to us redheads where it was going like, you know, when it goes patchy with the heat.
I saw how long it was. The episode was 95 minutes long. I mean, no.
With Dax
thank you.
And Harry.
With Dax. And it is funny you say about the forced familiarity, because now that you say it, I don't know what Harry was banging on about, but then Dax like, oh, because you know I was on tour in Afghanistan in 2007 and you were supposed to be coming out. And I was like, surely this is a comedy tour. Was Dax in the army? But again, the forced familiarity, like, hey, I was in Afghanistan, you were in Afghanistan, that kind of thing.
I was looking to hook up with your buddy and get a few beers. I don't know.
Yeah, no, a tough listen. But look, you can't say the First Amendment is bonkers, Harry. I mean, you know, Meghan read that was like, what? I went out to the car for 2 seconds. But he's just, I'd imagine very nice guy, but I would imagine not the swiftiest. I think, you know, I think we've said this before about poor old Harry and the eyes glazing over when poor old Oprah used the word symbiosis. We nearly lost Harry for a minute.
Well, I'd say that's what happens with inbreeding, wouldn't you?
Well, that's, none of them are particularly intelligent, I imagine.
I wouldn't
because
think so.
Because I would even imagine from like just, as you say, like a genetic point of view, like you're dealing with a very small pool there.
No, wouldn't be for me now.
I got quite emotional as well. Did you see the ad for the Oprah and Harry, the Apple TV, the mental health series, the one, what is it, The Me You Can't See? I got quite emotional watching that.
I didn't watch it.
Okay. Another conversational cul-de-sac. Okay. Right. Okay, patrons, we love you. While I'm finding the list of new patron people.
I saw it pop up and I was like, no, not for me.
Yeah, I know.
This me is it. I don't subject myself to these things, so I don't need to pop off the grid as often.
Okay, so People who are on very much on the grid this week are patrons. We have Dee, we have Roisin, we have Grace, we have Rachel. I think that's it this week. But thank you so much for getting involved. We really, really appreciate it.
Thanks.
A quick reminder as well that we have the book club, of course, happening on the 28th of May, which I think it'd be this Friday week. So Friday week. And Sophie White, the lovely Sophie White, very sound, said that she'd pop in.
That's great, isn't it?
And chat to us. Yeah, for 20
she's
minutes.
She's very in demand.
She's really in demand. Like, she's just such a nice person. And big shout out to Aoife, who said that to me, that Sophie had kind of thrown it out there and I got in touch. So she's going to do a Q&A with the up to 90 listeners and the members of the book club, obviously exclusive to our patrons. And that's going to be happening Friday week. So I can't wait. Corpsing, great read. Really, really good. Yeah. So actually, I'm also reading Megan Nolan's Acts of Desperation at the moment, which I think might be a nice option for the book club at some stage. I don't know. Have you read Ems?
No. What's it about?
Very good. It's just basically about, it's really interesting. It's this, so this woman wrote it who, I'm not quite sure. She's from Waterford herself. So in the book, the narrator is also from Waterford and has also dropped out of college, as Megan Nolan did. But I think, as far as I know, because it's not an autobiography, I think that's where the similarities end.
Oh, yeah.
But she's involved in this like really toxic relationship. But it's just, there's so many moments where you're like, oh my God, wow, that was me a few years ago when I was single. You know, the thing of that, like, the guy who tells you he loves you 3 days before Christmas and then you go home for Christmas and you don't hear from him and you come back and you've sent too many texts and he says, oh, well, it's over now. You know, you like that kind of, just that kind of swings and roundabouts relationship. Yeah. It's such a brilliant read. Really, 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 really. I was saying enjoy is the wrong word, but like, it's just a great read. And Sophie's one, Corpsing, mwah, chef's kiss. So can't wait for that, guys.
I think I am. I want to get some books, but I want to read some like self-help books about like not to be so emotionally open.
That's your problem, Emma.
You know,
well, you're great. Listen, so many people got in touch after the Regina Grail took the episode to say Emma should be a counsellor. And I was like, what about me? That episode was about me though.
Look, it's very easy to be like that when it's not your problem, isn't it?
But sure, Emma, you're probably the most emotionally intelligent person I've ever met.
Unavailable.
So listen, if you start getting the self-help books, I'll start to get very worried about
myself. No, but you know,
you're the person who gives me advice.
I actually do want to go down to my library because obviously the libraries are back open now.
I know. Everyone's hanging on about pennies. I'm out there queuing outside the library.
I might try and nip down tomorrow on my lunch break. It's kind of, it's like, don't get me wrong, it's great, but it's just kind of tight because I go and get Tommy as well. And you know what I mean? So,
Working mom.
I'm a working mom.
I'm a working mom. Don't know about you, but hey, I'm a working mom.
I'm out of school run. That's what I don't do. And then we were like, why are you talking like that? What's wrong with you? Oh my God, I met a girl today on my way to get Tommy. Like, why did I make this such an weird interaction, right? So I saw her and I haven't seen her in years, but we follow each other on Instagram. Like, really nice girl. Always got on with her. And she was walking in towards me with her husband. So like, I recognized her straight away. And I was like, oh, hey, how are you? She's like, oh, what are you up to? And I was like, oh, I'm just going to collect from the school. And she's like, oh yeah. And then I was like, oh, where are your kids? Because I only know her kids from like Instagram. And then I start laughing. I'm like, sorry, that was such like a bitch neighbor thing to say, like, where are the kids or whatever. She's like, we're on a date. We're going for a lunchtime date. And then I turn around and go, oh Jesus, don't be wasting your time fucking talking to me. Enjoy the lunch. And then I walked off.
Weird exit.
Then I was like, God, why did I make that so aggressively awkward? I haven't seen her like 5 years. Oh.
Yeah. What we've established today is Emma's very much on grid. Some might say she's too on the grid. Do you know what we got this week? Just to wrap it up, can I just thank Tony's Chocolate, our old friends at Tony's Chocolate. They heard, little birdie told them that we were very into the chocolate. So I was chatting to them and they sent a lovely parcel of chocolate. I'm going to send you 50% of the chocolate. Now, they did send this the last week and I meant to take a picture, but I just started eating the chocolate. So I now have to go and buy bars to replenish the box and then do the picture and the share. But we absolutely love Tony's Chocolates. Thank you so much for sending that on to us with a lovely note that said, "Dear Emma and Judy, hope this gives you a smile." So obviously they listened to the Ragin' O'Grail with the episode.
What?
Keeping it on brand because we're a comedy podcast. We're always signing on the comedy podcast. Always smiling, always smiling.
I honestly don't know if this podcast
and with prep and with preparation. Yeah.
What percentage of the chocolate is gone?
Emma, geez, we're 4 bars down. They sent there was 10 bars. We're definitely 40% down. Because I'm
left that means 60% down.
Yeah,
I know you always add a little bit to any story.
Well, we're dipping in, we're dipping out, bit of dippage. And I've just left the nutty ones there, and I was like, "Well, I just send the nutty ones on to Emma because you know the way I'm not into nuts." Hey, that's what she said.
I think. Look, at this stage of the game, if we're being honest, there's 20% of it there. Just leave it there. Just crack on with it. I think it's over now. I think they're your bars. In reality,
is it squatters' rights when it comes to the chocolate?
I think the spirit of the bars is within your grasp.
Emma, it's been an absolute pleasure. I've been Julie J.
I've been Emma Doran. God bless Tony's chocolate bars.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.